Welcome, church, to another Lighthouse podcast. I'm Pastor Jeff Glenn, and it's my pleasure to take you through the Word here on Thursday mornings or whenever you're listening. So welcome. It's my privilege to take you through the Bible and get a little bit of encouragement. Today we're going to be in Luke 5, and we're going to look at this story of the man on the bed whose friends tore open the roof to let him down to Jesus. And so we pick this up in Luke chapter 5, verse 15, and this is during the time that Jesus is beginning to call his disciples to himself. And he'd already called Peter and James and John. And just right after this incident that we're going to look at today, he'll call Matthew. And so this is also the beginning of their instruction. And so in verse 15, it starts, "However, the report went out all around concerning him all the more, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him from their infirmities." And so here we see this desperate need, right? This great multitude with their infirmities coming to be healed. And in Matthew's gospel, it records them as being lame and mute and maimed, as many other types of ailments as well. And so later on here, we'll see their greatest need, which is to be saved. And that's what Jesus is bringing as well. And so it continues in verse 16. So he himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. And so here we see Jesus' example of prayer before power, seeking the Lord's will, right? So it's this communion with the holy, omnipotent God that is the goal and ultimately the power to accomplish his will. That's the purpose of Jesus and his coming, is to show us this communion with God. And so Jesus knew this, and he modeled it well for his disciples, which includes us, this idea of prayer before power. And so this is the relationship part that we talk about when we say it's not about a religion, it's about a relationship. Jesus modeled this habit of seeking God and his will as a regular habit, and so it's something that we should imitate. And in verse 16 it continues, "Now it happened on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and the teachers of the law sitting by, who had come out of every town of Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them." And so here we see these naysayers. Luke calls them, says they're just sitting by. So these bystanders, right, that are just sitting there. And we know that from other interactions that their mode of operation was judgment. Right, they were just hanging out, seeing if they could catch Jesus doing something that would break the law, and so they could catch him in it, right? So imagine it. Here we have this house where all these people are gathered up. They're lining up to have their infirmities healed. There was no doubt opportunities for ministry, but nope. You know, they were exercising their spiritual gift of sin sniffing, and they were just hot on Jesus' trail to find something wrong. And so we continue in verse 18. "Then behold, men brought on a bed a man who was paralyzed, whom they sought to bring in and lay before him." And so here we see these friends and their resolve. Some say that it was like four men, perhaps four people, one at each post, and that really isn't the point, right? It could have been more and it could have been less. The point is that this man was unable to get himself to Jesus. And so his friends were willing to help. And so that's one of the big points that we'll see from this, is the importance of whom we surround ourselves with. We know that we become like who we are influenced by. And this man had surrounded himself with friends who were willing to do what it took to get him to Jesus in his time of need. And so they were willing to go the distance to make that happen. And so they were persistent, right? They didn't let a little discouragement, you know, this big crowd of people pouring out of the house, prevent them from getting their friend to Jesus. They were on a mission, and they were going to get their friend to Jesus. And so I was talking with a good friend of mine the other day about this and other passages regarding our persistence in pursuing the Lord and in his will. And this has always been one of my favorite stories, because it highlights what ministry is all about. It's about getting people to Jesus and doing that over and over again. And so I love that. And so in verse 19, it continues, "And when they could not find how they might bring him up because of the crowd, they went up to the housetop and let him down with his bed through the tiling in the midst before Jesus." And so we see their cost, right? What it took for them to do this, right? So physically carrying someone around on a stretcher is not easy. You know, no matter how many people you have helping you, it's always awkward and straining, let alone to climb up on a roof and to hoist your friend up who's probably tied to his bed at this point, and then to dig up the roof, as Mark records. There wasn't a hatch. They had to dig up, tear up the tiles of this roof, and, you know, that resolve to do what it took. You know, it also puts them at risk from the homeowner as well. I'm sure the homeowner wasn't exactly excited to have someone tearing up his roof, right? You know, so, you know, forget get off my lawn, you know, get off my roof. But they were persistent, and they got their friend to Jesus's feet. And in verse 20, we see the payoff for their persistence. "When he saw their faith, he said to them, 'Man, your sins are forgiven you.'" And so Jesus commended their faith and forgave his sins. And so this is God's grace in action, because what they brought him there for was to heal him from his infirmity, whatever was keeping him in his bed. But Jesus offered him this grace and that thing that's beyond mercy, right? Our salvation. And so based on their assumption that all they needed to do was get their friend to Jesus' feet and his infirmities would be healed, they did what it took. And so Jesus recognized that and extended them salvation for his sins as well. And in verse 21, "And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, 'Who is this who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone?'" So here we are. We see these naysayers again, and you know, they're bystanders, and we see their reaction. Man, they were excited, right? But they weren't excited that people were getting healed. They were excited that they had found Jesus in a blasphemy. And so it continues in verse 22 through 24. "But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered and said to them, 'Why are you reasoning in your hearts? Which is easier for you to say, "Your sins are forgiven you," or to say, "Rise up and walk"? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, he said to the man who was paralyzed, "I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house." And so Jesus is in this moment giving them the ultimate evidence of his deity, and yet they wouldn't receive it because of the hardness of their hearts, right? So he responded to their challenge by giving them this challenging question, which was meant to reveal his deity, which they weren't wanting to hear. And then we get to 25. "Immediately he rose up before them. He took up what he had been lying on and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God, and they were filled with fear, saying, 'We have seen strange things today.'" Well, strange things indeed, but they got to this place where God's glory was the result. And that's the purpose of this interaction. And it should be what the focus of our lives is too, as believers, is to get people to Jesus so that he can be glorified by what he does. And he alone can do mainly is forgiving sin and bringing people into eternal life. And so, you know, as we consider who we surround ourselves with, you know, would you rather surround yourselves with someone like the bystanders who are eager to find fault while unwilling to lift a finger to help? Or do we want to be resolved in our efforts to get people to Jesus and surround ourselves with people who are just as eager and who will get you to Jesus no matter the cost? And so it's a choice. Are they leading you to Christ? Are they encouraging you to lead others to Christ? And so ours is the choice to glorify God. So hopefully that's helpful for you, and bless you, and have a great rest of your week.